Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near? O when within thy courts appear and see thy face? 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, beginning by verse 37 through 59. But first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 6, beginning by verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give, this is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Bert Maritz and his daughter Megan, who were spared in an accident this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this morning of thy holy day that we may gather together once again as a congregation. It is a day set aside by thee, and in this morning in a special way, that when we may, according to thy holy command, have before us set once again at that holy supper of the Lord. Oh, that thou may also look upon us in this day, and when we are gathered together in such a way, for it is for a blessing for thy church. It belongeth unto them. It is instituted by thee. For thou knowest their weakness. Thou knowest their frailty. And thy disciples did have to ask of thee, Lord, increase our faith. And thou knowest the wanderings from thee. Thou knowest the corruption that still dwells within. Thou knowest all that does separate between thee and our soul, so that we find ourselves continually departed so far from thee. And then it belongeth unto thee to bring us back once again. Oh, it belongeth unto thee who has given all things in the first place to continue all things in the second place and to be the finisher of thy own work for a people who are not able to uphold it for one moment. Oh, Lord, thou who knowest all this and who has instituted thy holy supper for this purpose, that their eye may be redirected once again to that suffering which thou hast done upon the cursed tree, oh, that they may not look within themselves anymore, but that their eyes may be directed unto him who has said, it is finished. O Lord, could it please Thee so to look upon Thy church in this morning hour, that Thou wouldst remember them in all their trial, affliction, and tribulation, that is not only in this world suffered according to the temporal things, but Thou knowest all that lives within their hearts, all the doubts and all the fears, all the iniquity and all that they bring upon themselves from day to day. O Lord, that Thou wouldst raise them up a little bit above all that is in this life. All the sin, all the iniquity, all the vanity, all the carnality. And wilt Thou give them so to look upon that sacrifice which Thou hast made, that their souls may be fed thereby in this morning hour, that they may receive a little courage to go on in the blessed joy of Thy salvation. O Lord, could it please Thee to give others to be jealous of the portion that belongeth unto Thy people? Oh, that this may be for a drawing of hard hearts, that they may be broken in this morning hour, that they may be given to see something of the riches, the substance that Thou givest unto Thy people, and that there may be for the first time a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, that there may be a departing from the ways of sin, and there may be a drawing unto Thee and to Thy footstool. Oh, that Thou may instruct in the way of life, because we live by nature in this world in the way of death. And if nothing takes place between the cradle and the grave, then we shall work out our own destruction. Oh, that Thou wouldst give it then to young and old together, that Thy Spirit may go out as heretofore, and that there may be a mighty working of Thy Spirit in the midst of us as a congregation, and that Thou wouldst give open eyes and broken hearts. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all those that have no desire? Oh, Thou art able to give a desire in one moment. It is all in Thy power. We beseech it then of Thee, because we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. And after received grace, then there is so much deadness that lives in our heart and in our life. Oh, then we need each and every one the same thing. But we can read in Thy word how that Thy bride did say, "Behold the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." And that for a people who did seek upon their bed him whom their soul loveth, but they could not find him. O Lord, in one moment Thou art able to make it different again. And we beseech it all of Thee, for then Thy name can receive all the honor and all the glory in the heart of Thy children. Remember those that cannot be with us in this day. Thou knowest their place, for there is much sickness, there is much weakness. Those that have become old, those that are in the Bethesda home, Thou knowest also there. One was sick and is recovering again. Wilt Thou remember him in his very, very old age, in his widowhood? Oh, that Thou may remember and supply for him, for the body not only which cannot but soon be laid in the grave, but that Thou wouldst grant unto him that life that never dies. Oh, give him to tell yet with his old and trembling lips of that grace and of that mercy of God to such as he is. Oh, could it not be, O Lord, that it would glorify Thy great and holy name and all that do live there with him. Remember all that care for them, that Thou may look upon those that were involved also in a serious car accident in the week that is gone by. Then it is also his testimony that it is a great wonder that they were spared. O Lord, that Thou may give a broken heart and a contrite spirit to both, to all of them together. We may acknowledge thee for thy sparing mercies. Oh, that thou would spare also the souls upon the way to that great eternity, and that the callings to him and his family and to each and every one of us may not go unheeded upon our short journey to meet thee. Look upon us, O Lord, together in this morning. Oh, be thou in the midst of us as one that serveth. Give us a little strength for the day that lies before us. For thou knowest all our weakness, but thou art able to strengthen us for the labor of our hands. And wilt thou fill us with a double portion of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, thou didst say unto thy disciples, give ye them to eat. But they had naught to give unto the multitude. Oh, thou didst hand it unto them, Lord, and they couldst give it unto others. Could it please thee to make us such an instrument in thy hands in this day, that it may be for the feeding of thy people? We have nothing, Lord. We have nothing to give them. But there is so much food in thy word. Oh, then open our lips, that we may, that thou wouldst put thy words in our mouth, and that we may it be given to feed thy church. Oh, gladden us together with thy deeds, forgiving and taking away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 187, the four stanzas, thy loving kindness. Lord is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. The last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. 187, all the stanzas. Thank you. congregation the words of our text for this morning hour in this special service may be found in that portion that was read to you, John chapter 6, and thereof the 55th verse. John 6, verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So far, the words of our text. Spiritual meat and drink. First, the need for this spiritual meat and drink. Second, the provision of this spiritual meat and drink. And third, the partaking of this spiritual meat and drink. Spiritual meat and drink, first the need for, second the provision of, and third the partaking of this spiritual meat and drink. We cannot, congregation, live without food. We were not created with all of the energy that is necessary for us to live to the end of our life, but we need to be continually sustained. This sustenance is not able to come from ourselves. He that has created us must also provide for us. That is the way that we were created, and it is the experience of each and every one of us each and every day. But it is the same also in with the need of the soul of God's church, because the true church that often has a living complaint. It is a complaint of lack. That is what they do lack in themselves and what they are not able to provide for themselves. Thus, they must complain of darkness. They must complain of deadness, of earthly mindedness, of corruption, of unbelief. Sheep are wandering creatures. They can wander away, but they are not able to bring themselves back again. David, he said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Israel can bring themselves into bondage, but they are not able to deliver themselves from their bondage. And now faith that is once exercised is not able to maintain itself. David may one day say to Goliath, that greatest enemy, I will take your head from off you. But it was a little while later that same David did say that I will now one day perish by the hand of Saul. Thus, a work of God that cannot be maintained by man, but a work that must be maintained by the Lord Himself. After Adam had sinned, then he did not dare to appear before God. He hid from God. He felt the death that was in himself, and his guilt did not permit him to approach unto that great holiness and that great majesty. But the Lord came to Adam, and he has punished him, and then we can read how that he has cursed the ground for his sake. But That day that Adam did feel that death, the Lord, he has also spoken to him about life. And then we can read that the Lord, he has spoken about that seed of the woman. What was it? It was the promise of grace that was not deserved by Adam. He has felt that, you can be sure. But how Adam must have rejoiced in this promise. A promise that did come so unexpectedly. A promise that came from the side of the Lord, so that there was absolutely nothing that had to come or could be fulfilled or needed to be fulfilled from the side of Adam. There is no rest. There is no peace in this world that can be experienced as this rest and as this peace. And there is no humility that can be worked in the heart of a man that is greater than that humility that he receives when the Lord shows him grace. Undeserved grace. And there is no greater glory that comes unto the triune God than when he does show something of this grace and give it to be felt in the heart of his people. And that is why these revelations, the revelations of this grace, they are so very sweet in the life of God's people. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. There is so much power in it. There is so much glory in it for the Lord. And there is so much rest in it for the people. Though passing through a veil of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. It is not from man, but thy grace with winged hope and power impelling, the wilderness by showers blessed is now made a pilgrim's veil of rest. That people, what would they do? They would always stay there in that place. Or when you have seen him, people of the Lord, then you can remember just that place that you were in. How many times have you not even perhaps tried to go back to that place? Oh, to sit in that same pew, to sit in that same place with the hope that to be there, well, then that you may experience something of that grace again, or that you may see it once again, because your soul in all of its corruption, your soul in all of its languishing, deep inside that has a desire, that has a hunger, that has a thirst, that it may taste, that it may taste thy grace as thirst the heart for cooling flood, so thirst my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. Oh, that is where the church would dwell. There is no time so necessary to taste that grace as when that soul has by renewal brought guilt upon itself, as when that conscience that has been defiled by renewal. But it is just this defiling of the conscience that is making a separation. This is that is making that people timid to come before that throne of grace. And then especially when that sin that is fresh, when that sin has just been committed, it is not so easy when a man has just gone into a Bathsheba, than to pray unto the Lord. It is not so easy when a man, he has murdered Uriah, just then to turn and to pray unto the Lord. For what shall I ask him? Shall I ask him for mercy? I deserve the opposite. I deserve to be condemned. It is not so easy to pray. No, not when I have been laying upon a bed of languishing, when I have been slothful, when I have left off watching, when I have been indulging in all that this world has to offer. Oh, then it is not so easy to pray. Why not? Because then the Lord, he is hiding his face. Then that communion is lacking. Then that word that has been laying upon its shelf, all that is earthly, all that is temporal, that has driven out everything that was heavenly, all that was eternal, and then that inner closet that has been neglected. And when this is so, then it is not so easy to pray. It is the very sense of that guilt that is draining that courage. It is draining faith of its strength. It is that very sense of guilt that is making that people to hesitate to draw near unto that throne of grace. Is that necessary? For what is that throne of grace? Why has the Lord laid it there? Why has the Lord established it but for those who are guilty? But now when that communion that is lacking, then that soul that is so easily losing sight of this, and he is gaining sight once again of that broken covenant that is coming before him with all of its curse, with all of its terror. And it is now for this reason that it is necessary, the Lord says, to feed his church. That is to feed them continually, that they may receive strength, that new life may receive strength, that it may be given to view, that it may be given to take hold once again, not of an old covenant, not of a broken covenant, but of a new covenant, that it may be enabled to take hold of it, that it may receive out of the covenant all the blessings that it contains for the soul of a guilty man. And thus we see it is a provision. It is a provision not from the side of a man, but it is a provision from the side of the Lord. It is a provision of spiritual meat and drink. We see that in our second thought. When we eat, children, when we eat, then we receive pleasure in eating. Is that not a wonder? Because eating is necessary for our life. And the Lord, he gives that eating that is not a chore. When we become old, then our taste, that is also not like it is when we are young. So when we eat, then we receive a blessed satisfaction that is for the present, that is for the moment, that is something that we feel, that is something that we experience, that is something that we may enjoy. If that is so for our body, how much more can you imagine is the joy in eating in a spiritual way? Because the soul that is capable of receiving a greater joy, a greater blessedness than our body. But if we eat now wholesome food, then we receive more than pleasure. We receive more than a present satisfaction and joy. If we eat wholesome food, then we also receive a nourishment, a strengthening. But that nourishment that is not felt so much at the moment, in that present satisfaction, that is actually something more for the future. It is more secret. It is more hidden. It works by the power of the Lord. It works a strengthening which we do not even think about so often as we go through our day. But it is by that eating that the Lord is strengthening that we may go on with our work. And when it is right that a man is living out this life for the service, for the honor, and for the glory of the Lord. Much more, that same strengthening is necessary in the soul of a man. And what does he give that man to feed upon? That it may be for his present joy, that it may be for his present satisfaction, but that it may be also for his future strengthening. What do we read? We read, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Thus, in the first place, my flesh is meat indeed. What is his flesh? His flesh, that is his human nature. Has the human nature of Christ ever become to us meat indeed? That is food for faith. That is the fact of his human nature in the first place. Because the fact of his human nature that is speaking about the love of God, and then not the love of God to men as it was before the fall. Because before the fall, then the human nature of Christ was not necessary. But the human nature of Christ, that is speaking about the love of the Father, even to a man who has fallen away, who has rebelled against him, then it is speaking about the love of the Son. That he has taken upon himself that nature of man, not as it was before the fall, but that he has taken upon himself that nature of man as it was after the fall, as it was as he had to endure the results, the consequences of the sin of his people. My flesh is meat indeed. Oh, that flesh, it was even the promise of that flesh to our father Adam, when the Lord has spoken unto the devil of the seed of that woman. It was the promise of that flesh that was food and drink for the church of God before he came, even for 4,000 years. My flesh is meat indeed. But it is not only the fact of his flesh. Because when we go to Sinai, then we see a people standing before the Mount of God. And it is a people, they are beseeching the Lord for something. What is it? They are beseeching the Lord for a mediator. Speak not thou unto us, lest we die. Thus, When a man is standing before that law, when a man is standing before the judgment seat of Christ, then he is not able to appear before God. Did you ever feel something, the smallest part of this? Because then a man cannot do without a mediator. And it is now this flesh, the flesh of that Son of God, that has made him, that has qualified him to be the mediator between God and his people. Thus we read that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That he may do what? That he may make reconciliation, we read, for the sins of his people. Meet indeed for a people who do not dare to approach unto God because of his holiness, who cannot approach unto him because of his justice, who do not dare to approach unto him because of their own unworthiness. But it is not only the fact of his human nature. It is also that flesh in which he would suffer. It is that flesh in which he would die. And thus when he says, my flesh is meat indeed, and then he is speaking also about his sufferings in that flesh. And the sufferings in that flesh, they are meat indeed for that church. What did he say? He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And yet we see him. Have you ever seen him? Or have you ever seen him hanging upon that cursed tree as that innocent one? Because there he has hung between the heaven and the earth. There he has hung condemned as one who had no sin. There he has hung as one who was condemned not by men only, not by the enemy only, no, one that was condemned even by his own father. Oh, the thief, he was privileged to eat of this. He was privileged to drink of this. That was a man who could not pay one jot. He was a man who could not pay one tittle. But it was a man who saw that. Oh, the Lord has revealed that to him. Oh, he has seen that it was not necessary for him to pay anything. And so in his distraught condition, when it was not possible for him anymore, then the Lord, he has opened to him something, or a little bit of what was lying in that suffering Savior. Oh, just so much as to strengthen him, to nourish him, that he may cry out in his guilt, in his unworthiness, in all his impossibility, oh Lord, wilt thou remember me? My flesh is meat indeed. Oh, has that flesh, a littlest part of the sight of that flesh, and never become meat indeed for your soul? My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What is blood more than flesh? Blood that is death itself. Because what do we read? The life that is in the blood. And what is now death more than suffering? Suffering, every suffering that is now just a little bit of death. Every suffering that is just a little taste of death. And so what is death? Death that is the completion of it. Death that is the completion of that payment. The longer God's church lives, the more guilt that they add to their own account. the longer that God's church lives, the more that they stand in need of grace. It is a grace that they themselves have sinned against. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just. Speechless, I thy mercy trust. The longer that they live, the more sin is added to that account. Sin against the goodness of the Lord. Sin against the grace of the Lord. And you know what they need more and more? Oh, they need more and more. They come more and more to see this. That they need a work that is completely finished. They need that at price that is not partially paid. No, if it is not completely paid, if it is not completely paid from the beginning unto the end, then it still will remain impossible for me, even unto death. That is now food and drink. Food and drink that is so necessary for that church the longer that they live. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For whom? For a church that cannot maintain themselves, that cannot uphold themselves, that cannot keep themselves alive. He provides it. He provides it, and he makes them also partakers of it. Oh, that is what we now hope to do. Oh, may the Lord give that we may be partakers of it, to partake of it at his table. The Lord bring there his languishing church, and the Lord give that the meek may eat and be satisfied. Amen. We will now ask that the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper be read to you, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloveds in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone considered by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he proposes henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and has firmly resolved henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sect and mutiny in church or state, all perjurious persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderous, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted this supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of his life, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides that, we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle said, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who had so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through thy Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper, in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls, through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 164. Beloved congregation, after a week of preparation, and then the Holy Supper of the Lord is in our midst, once again prepared, and all things are made ready, as so that the call goes out unto His church to do this in remembrance of me. We have heard the words of Christ Himself, that no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Who is it then who has come unto him? For if we have come unto him by a true and a living faith, then we have been indeed drawn by the Father. Jeremiah, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Thy words, or were the words of the Lord ever found by you, that you may eat them, and that they may become the joy and the rejoicing of your heart? Then it is especially that Christ, He is displayed in God's Word as the Word Himself. John, he writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And thus, was it ever in your life that you may say that this Word was found? To find something that comes after seeking something. And when we find something, then it is in one moment that we find it. And it is even after we have been seeking it, a surprise that we may find it. And if this word has ever been found by you, then after all your seeking, then in one moment, in the revelation of Himself, then it has been unto you also as such a great surprise. And then you have indeed eaten something of it. If we have eaten, and then a place was made in our heart, that there was room for something to eat, then there was a blessed satisfaction that was felt in your soul. And then not only a blessed satisfaction, but then we read, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh, do you know something of this joy and rejoicing of your heart? Then come, for all things are ready, and He calleth unto you. Do this in remembrance of me. Congregation, we read here in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. So it is experienced. Before that we may eat something of that flesh, before that we may drink something of that blood, then it is nothing but death. Have you ever experienced nothing but death? But then, when you may eat just a little bit, then you experience that there is life. And when we are not strangers of that life, then He calls us, do this in remembrance of me. You say maybe, ah, I know so very little. And God's people, then they know who that He is. that they enjoy something of him. I have had, oh, maybe, perhaps I have had just a little taste. Is it not what the apostle says? If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Does not one eat more than another, so that one is satisfied with much, and another he may receive only a little taste? Come then, for all things are ready. If there are no more, we will then close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This speaks of union. There is salvation in a union. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. There is salvation in that union. There is no salvation in our merit. Have you not experienced this? Have you not come to the end of that merit? And is it not every time again that you have to be so dissatisfied with any so-called merit? We are not saved by that merit. We are saved by this union. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he hath eternal life. And not only are we not saved by that merit, but there is nothing of the dismerit that is able to condemn us. Because it says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That means that he hath it already. And the Lord who has given it, he can never take it away. That is the steadfastness. That is the certainty that there is in that blessed, in that new covenant. Thus, he says, my flesh, that is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. How does a man receive this salvation? Well, it is by eating. It is by drinking. And so that you have also experienced that in your life. When he does show himself, when he comes with a little power, when he reveals himself, then you may eat it, then you may drink it, then you may believe it, then you may receive it. And so you receive it by this eating, by this drinking. And now he also would have you to eat and to drink, not only in a spiritual way, in order that you may receive it, but also in a sacramental way. Here, this bread and this wine, in remembrance of him, that you may receive it for the strengthening of that same faith, that you may not only receive it, but that you may be strengthened in it. Thus it is, we can read a sign, and it is a seal. And what now is a seal? Well, a seal, that is that which the Lord would make to be authentic, that he would say, it is truly from me. And thus, when in that examination of our life, when we must say and confess that though that we are conceived and born in sin, yet we are not a stranger of this eating and of this drinking. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me, that I may seal it home now unto your heart, that I have instituted this, that you may receive from me that assurance that I have really given unto you my flesh and my blood. Oh, a blessed union, what does that mean? Well, we can read that it is a union whereby he is mine and I am his. That means that in a marriage there is a sharing. Everything that is shared together. Is that not a wonder? You say, what have I to give? Because in my life, then there is nothing but sin. There is nothing but corruption. Well, this is that. which he says, give it unto me. Oh, give it unto me and I will carry it, because I have carried it already away. And I have brought it unto the cross and I have laid it in the grave. And then everything else that I may now share with you, everything that is mine, that you may take of my obedience, that I have actively obeyed all the commandments of the Lord and all the punishment which you deserve, that is now completely taken away. Everything that I receive of my Father, that is also that which I may give unto you. And you may be the partakers of all the benefits of all of my offices, the priestly office that I have given myself as a sacrifice, and the prophetical office that I will give and instruct you in my wisdom, and that I will keep you also as a king, even unto the end. Oh, a union. And he says, a union not only with him, but he says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And thus a union, not only with him as the mediator, as the Son, but in and through him, a union with the Father, and a union also one with another as the body of Christ. Oh, how many are the benefits that are coming out of him, so that he says, and I will raise him up at the last day, so that there is no uncertainty in the salvation of his people. They have already that eternal life, and in the end of their life, then my promise that is sure, and that is sworn by me, that I will raise him up at the last day. And so he says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall even live by me. And so in that time that we may have left, a little time here that we have before, that we lay down this sinful flesh, then he says, that church that may live by me, all they may receive out of me, every time that there is a fall, every time that there is a living in sin, every time that there is a stumble, every time that sin that is raising up in our heart, oh, then he says that you may live by me. What did we read with that Samaritan woman? Oh, he says, whoso drinketh of this water, he shall thirst again. But whoso shall drink of that water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water unto eternal life. Oh, that we could live a little more by that well of water, that it would be springing up in us each and every day. Oh, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or persecution or distress or famine or sword or nakedness? No, there is no separation. Oh, that we may live a little more by that living well, that it may be in us a well springing up into everlasting life, that we may live by it even to the last day of our life. So he gives that strength by that food and drink. So he gives to eat and partake of that sacrament, that that church may receive that faith to live a little more this way, and that he thereby may receive the honor and the glory within our hearts and in the midst of our families and congregation. Oh, the Lord glorify his name more, that we may live more in his sight, that we live more by his word, that we may live more at that throne of grace for those who are unworthy for Jesus' sake. Let us sing Psalter 241, stanzas 2 and 3. I sing of mercies that endure, forever builded firm and sure, of faithfulness that never dies, established changeless in the skies. 2 and 3 of Psalter 241, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore, shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 415, the seventh stanza. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name, with his friends in tender mercy, he his covenant will maintain. The seventh of Psalter 415. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.